Hello, hello, and welcome to this recording of the Divine Downloads podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Overton. And today I'm so excited to have Marcia Batty on the line, on the podcast. Marcia is a mindset and business coach for nurses. She helps them upgrade their mindset, leap past their fears, and launch their businesses online. Marcia, welcome to the show, young lady.
Oh, thank you so much. So glad to be here. And thank you so much for finally us connecting and getting the opportunity to actually speak in person. This is awesome and amazing.
It's totally my pleasure. And here's what I love about energy and the way the universe works is that we both have talked about, we followed each other for a while. And
yes,
for whatever reason, we didn't actually connect. And so, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, I think you reached out to me.
Yeah.
And I just went to your website and I was like, dude, what? Why have we not connected before now? You're like my spirit animal. And you're like, well, you know, the stars are aligned. I'm like, absolutely. And so I just hope that this, I just really want this show to do a couple things. That is to showcase for nurses, nursing students,
yes,
wherever you are in your career, like there is no one path. There is no, you know, pie in the sky rule that says you have to do X before you do Z. Like you can write your own ticket. And mm-hmm. So anyway, I just like to showcase that. So Marcia, tell us, I mean, your travel and all the things, I'm like, that girl, she's my spirit animal. tell us about your nursing journey as much or as little as you want, and kind of
sure
where you've landed now amidst this thing called COVID and all the things.
Sure, will do. So nursing is actually my second career, and it's funny that I say that now. I'm thinking in my head, you know, I never really had a first career, but I went into nursing with it was my second degree, and I started off, I got a scholarship to go to Georgetown and get my nursing degree. And it was after talking to my best friend, who was a nurse. We've been friends for now over 20 years. And she was a nurse and she said, you always wanted to get back into nursing. Well, there's this program here that you should be looking into. And so that's how I got started in nursing. And I started off in burn trauma at a Trauma One Center here in Washington, D.C. And then I moved into several different things. I did some travel nursing in the ER at a Trauma One in Texas. I also did some ER work in other ERs outside of Washington, D.C. as well. And I've been in forensics. That's probably my favorite specialty, is working with survivors, actually survivors of sexual, domestic violence, intentional trauma. So that's the work that kept me really, really engaged the longest. I've also done work as eating disorders nurse on a mental health unit. Various different things. I've done clinical education. That was my most recent position in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I just recently moved back to the Washington, D.C. area. So that's what I was doing in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and also corrections nursing. And then now, and we talked a little bit before we started the podcast episode, now I'm doing work with the rapid response team here for the Department of Health in the district, and also working COVID relief for both Department of Health and a Department of Corrections here in DC. So just a myriad of different specialties and work that I've done. I've worked in Indian Health as well. So nursing came as a quote second career. Although again, I wasn't really sure what my first career was because I've done so much other, so many other things before nursing, trying to figure it all out.
Well, isn't this there? Herein lies the beauty. What other profession can you work in an ER and also work in corrections and also, you know, travel to different places of the country and apply your clinical skills? I mean,
yeah,
I think it's I don't think there's anything that we can't do as nurses. And in fact, if you have the chutzpah and the courage, it's kind of like, you know, we can create our own positions, right?
Yeah. And I actually have to say, going to nursing school and becoming a nurse was the best decision, one of the best decisions, if not the best decision I've ever made in my life, because there's so much open to you as a nurse, regardless of the specialty you're in, but just the idea that there's so many specialties that you can go into and, you know, not really lose interest because you know there's always something else out there. That's been the most rewarding for me, is knowing about the options that I have. And I personally just love telling people I'm a nurse. You know, it's that pride you have when people are like, oh my goodness, you're doing the good work. You're doing the real work and you're really helping people. So it's a pride of having, nursing being a part of my life. So best career decision I've ever made. Hands down.
I love that. I love that, Marcia, because, it does. I love the pride piece, and I've never been more proud to be a nurse than right now. Right.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
And I love what you said about it. It affords you so much opportunity. I mean, I also going to nursing school probably was the best decision ever because it affords you so many options. There's not many, let's take engineering. I don't know, for example, there aren't very many professions or like career paths that can give you so much diversity.
Exactly. And if you don't like it, you can, if you don't like what you're working in, you can actually change it the next week. So, you know, you just have to apply and look for work that's out there in your specialty. And where else can you be in a career for, you know, 10, 15 years and say all of a sudden, hey, I've been interested in mother baby. Maybe it's time for me to try that out and actually have a training program that you can go through to actually, you know, work through those interests. So yeah, it's great. Being a nurse is great. I love it.
Okay. So whenever I do these shows, I don't really remember what I say most of the time. What's coming up is that we just talked before this on your show, and we were talking a lot about spirituality, and what keeps coming up for me is working in forensics. First of all, forensics, I mean, that has always, I love puzzles and I love, you know, like the mystery and trying to solve something. In terms of working with survivors of sexual domestic violence, abuse, how does one not take that home? Is there a way that you, how do you manage all that? That's got to be a lot, Marcia.
So I'm glad you asked that question because I get that often whenever I tell anyone, whether they have a healthcare background or not, that I have worked with survivors of sexual domestic violence or other intentional traumas, gunshot wounds, stabbings, things like that. They're often, the first question is, wow, that must be hard. And how do you, you know, take in all of that work and be, you know, pretty much sane as a sane nurse at the end of the day? And my answer has always been, and I still feel this way today, that I disconnect very well. And it's not something that I've worked hard at really doing. It's just, I think something ingrained in me to be able to say, this is the work that I do. I love the work that I do. And I'm going to help this patient in front of me get through probably one of the worst moments in their life. And it's a part of my work. And so I don't actually take it home with me. In all of the cases I've done, and I think at this point, I've done over 150 cases, at last count, the last time I was in the field, I can count on one or two cases that probably affected me to the point where I was at home really thinking about the situation of that patient. Maybe there was something that connected us and maybe their experience or something that I related to that connected us that had me
thinking about it for days and days and days afterwards. I would say probably one or two patients. And I now that I look at those patients or think about those patients, it was something that was familiar to me, because I actually honestly come from a household of violence growing up. And I don't think I've ever shared that before, but I came out of that situation, and I remember one of those patients sort of reminded me, looking at her, of my mom and having, you know, small children and having to come into the hospital and do exams and have an exam done of you while your children aren't there because they have nowhere else to go. So I would say one or two, maybe three cases have affected me over that time, but all of the other cases, I'm able to say, this is the work that I do. I'm here to help this patient get through this situation, help them get through this exam, and be the best supportive, objective person or healthcare provider that I can be. And so that's how I look at my work. So I don't, and this may sound strange to people, I don't look at it any differently as if I was taking care of a patient, you know, in the emergency room, or one of my patients who may have suffered from eating disorders. Like I treat them all the same. So not treat them all the same because each case is different, but treat the situation all the same. Like, this is my role, is to support this patient, make sure they have the best care, and complete that care with them. So I disconnect very well. Amazingly, I didn't think I would, but because a lot of people don't. A lot of people burn out very, very quickly. And honestly, it's been the nursing job that I worked in the longest, which was about 3.5 years face to face bedside with patients, was 3.5 years in forensics, and that's the longest nursing job I've ever had. And it was the most rewarding for me and most enjoyable work that I've ever done.
Okay, so many things. First of all, thank you for, you know, being vulnerable and for sharing that, you know, your past experience, because I don't think anything's an accident. And isn't it interesting and also healing to know that you saw yourself in one of those very, you know, kindred spirits that you were helping support? And what a way for you, based on your own life experience, to hold space for another person that you know what it felt like.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's like total spiritual work right there.
And I know you were talking about angel bumps?
Yeah. Angel bumps.
Yeah. Angel bumps. And I just got a chill over my body just now, because that 1 to 3 patients that I really do think about or have thought about outside of my work, this one particular patient really did remind me of, like, she's the same age as my mom was with 3 kids. And and just looking at that patient, she was so young. And I thought about my mom in that moment, and I thought, wow, you know, my mom was going through this at that young age with 3 kids. And, you know, yeah, okay.
That's deep stuff right there. I think that's what an incredible space to hold for another human. I mean, that's privileged work, I would say. Incredible.
And that's why we do the work that we do too. I think the majority of it is part of, we have compassion for people and we love the idea of helping people. And I think that's why I stayed in that work. You know, 3.5 years is so long for me. I think that's why I stayed in that work the longest out of everything I've done in nursing, because I felt a connection to the actual work, not necessarily, you know, a patient, but just to the work and feeling the compassion. And it made me become a more compassionate person for patients, because I saw my experience and what some of, you know, what my patients were experiencing.
You totally got it on a cell level, like soul level. Yeah. Wow. And I know that you said that that's the best work or job that you've had. And do you think you would ever go back to that?
Well, I work with, I work in that world in a different way. One of the businesses I've created is a technology company. So I created an electronic health record for healthcare professionals who take care of survivors. In our field, oftentimes you would find forensic nurses or forensic programs. And I found this out by interviewing people, not purposely interviewing them, but just talking to them at forensic conferences about, charting and what they were doing with charting, not knowing that it was something I was going to fall into and start, working on, but just, I was curious at why we were still doing a hybrid model of a fillable PDF, in forensic nursing, and, were other people doing the same thing? Because it just did not make sense to me that, there's all this technology available, but yet we were completing charts on paper and other programs were completing charts on paper. So I decided, of course, to have a lofty idea and, go and create an electronic health record for forensic programs. And we just pretty much completed that and introduced it this past September at our international conference. I wasn't able to be at the conference. I had two workers to, go in my place and present the electronic health record to them, to the conference attendees. And so we've gotten some people signed up on our beta version of the software, and we're just working through that right now.
Hello. Congratulations. Hello.
Thank you.
Okay, so wait. How do you? Of course, a nurse. Of course, you're a nurse. Of course, you just were like, oh, we. I see a problem. We must create a solution. Because that's what we do, right?
Yeah, so, exactly. That's our work.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so how did you tell us a little bit about like who are the people that you resourced? I know that you're.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that, just so you know the entrepreneur thing.
Right. So, okay. So yes, I found a problem. And even when I was at these, mini conferences, asking forensic nurses, about their about how they were charting, I had no idea that I was going to create a software. I had no idea. I was just wondering why we were charting on paper, half computer, or half PDF, fillable PDF online. And, were other people doing it the same way? So, after talking to so many, forensic nurses and seeing their experiences as well, being similar, I don't know how long afterwards, I would say maybe a couple of months, the idea came to me like, why don't I just create a forensic electronic health record for nurses? And of course, I, worked on my own websites, The Bossy Nurse, and, other websites that I've created in the past, like for my travel company, my boutique travel company back in the day. So I've done, built up my own websites and taught myself how to do certain things, website builders and drag and drop and WordPress. And I didn't know how to code. So I was like, okay, this is going to be my plan. I am going to enroll in a coding boot camp, give myself 2 years to really learn how to code, and then build a whole electronic health record, right? So I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to do something like a Cerner or what are the other ones out there? I don't know, Allscript or something like that, or Epic. I'm going to build this electronic health record. And then, reality hit like, Marcia, it's so much coding. You didn't grow up coding. You didn't go to school for coding. This may be a little bit too much, but you know what? So I said, I'm going to look at programs. I decided to do some research on bootcamp programs. And if you don't know about bootcamps, coding bootcamps, basically, it's a very shortened, abbreviated, quick version of getting a software engineering certification or degree. And I know the software engineers are going to probably, if anybody's listening who's a software engineer, they're probably going to say, Marcia, that is so not right. Do not lump us up like that. But it's going down to the basics of learning a particular language, like a coding language, like PHP or C++ or, Java or something like that. Learning a coding language, which is the back end of websites, and learning the front end, which is design and development of websites. So I decided, and so they teach that oftentimes in programs now that are like 3 months long, 6 months long, a year long, so people can immediately go into the industry without a college degree sometimes, And just start in the tech field. And being in a tech field, you can you know, start off at some pretty good salaries in tech, sometimes starting at $60,000, $70,000 a year, depending on what part of the country you're in. So it's really, it can be a really lucrative career choice for someone who's not really wanting to go to college, or someone who's been to college and wants to sort of make a career change. So I decided to look up those programs, and I found a couple of programs here in Washington, D.C., and for a three-month program, you can probably pay, it's probably gone up right now, but $10,000 to $15,000 to $20,000 for a three-month program, and it's an intensive program. It's Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. You're on a computer all day, and then you have all this homework to do. So I also found a program in Bali.
Nice.
So, right. So I found a program in Bali that was a 10-day, it was just 10 days, not the 3 months. It was a 10-day immersive coding intensive where you learn the basics of like front end. And so I said, you know what? And it was half the cost of, you know, doing the full intensive program. And at the time, I don't think I had time to really sit through it. Monday through Friday. And so I found that program in Bali and said, hey, I might as well just go to Bali and learn for, you know, half or a third of the cost. And so, well, one of the programs, it was about the same as the Bali program. So I decided to go to Bali for that 10-day program. I stayed a little longer just to enjoy myself. Went to Bali, learned a little bit of front end, and met my coding mentor there, who was one of the teachers, and told him about why I was there and what I was doing, and he became my software developer. So that's how I found my first, you know, contractor for that business. Is, you know, I just happened to put myself out there and fell into finding someone who was really excited about the work I was doing and wanted to help me with the project. So I hired him to help me build this software. And, you know, because I was paying out of pocket, it took a while to sort of, you know, get that built. So about a year and a half later, we reconnected after that coding camp and a few months after the coding camp. And then we sort of put a plan together to build it. And so it took about the whole process about a year and a half, if not more. And that's how I started. I created, and designed the whole application from beginning to end, and he helped build it. So yeah.
This is why you're my spirit animal. I mean, go to Bali for this course.
So yeah.
I just want to give you a huge shout out. I mean, I know you're a huge travel buff, and you know, so you think nothing of probably picking up and going to Bali or wherever it is. You're very open to travel, and
yeah,
I just want to highlight that. In my work, I talk a lot about helping women get into a receptive state.
Yes.
And so I think what you just shared with us is so poignant on so many levels. And it's like, you had an intention, you know, mm-hmm. you wanted to get the knowledge, you wanted to build your base. You looked at the options, you did your research, you went to what felt aligned, you went to Bali, and because you're open and receptive, you, of course, the universe put the sky on your path, and look at you. I mean, that is no small undertaking, young lady. I mean, holy
cow. Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, honestly, Elizabeth, too, I'm thinking to the, you know, I've been thinking lately, and we have our beta version, and we're working on the second version of it right now. It's going to come out a little later than I hoped, but we're working on that second version. And I just keep thinking about, you know, being receptive, but I didn't think of about being receptive in the way that you talk about, but it's pretty much the same thing. You have to just be open and decide if there's something that you want to do, if there's an intention, you just have to have no fear and just do it. You just have to keep moving.
Yes, because here's the thing about law of attraction.
Yeah.
Everything is energy. Anything that energy has a frequency. So whatever you're thinking, whatever you're putting out there, it's basically the universe is a copy machine. So whatever it's receiving, your intention, oh, I'm going to go to coding bootcamp, I'm going to build this electronic medical record. The universe is pulling out all the things behind the scenes. And so when you keep yourself open and you keep taking inspired action, it's like the universe just totally has your back.
Right, right. And I have to honestly say, with building this health worker, it's not the passion that I have to, you know, work in this, you know, full time and just make this a career and, you know, be the CEO of a huge company. That's not even where I'm working from. I wanted to create that from the mindset of just wanting to build something that was easy and low cost for nonprofit forensic programs. And so now I'm actually looking into the possibility of switching that over to a nonprofit, because I feel like, you know what, I sort of felt like I, you know, came in and built a solution to something, but I don't want to run it day to day. I'd rather have people who are experts running a sort of business that's really doing the good work, like a nonprofit. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, right now that a nonprofit may be the way to switch that business over and hire a staff who's willing and able to work with clients, these organizations, on a long-term basis. Because, you know, my first love actually is working at thebossynurse.com. I love engaging with nurses in this way, in this type of work. So even though you create a solution, it doesn't always mean that that solution has to be your life and your livelihood. It could just be a solution. You know, it can be a solution that you probably didn't intend. Like I said, I didn't intend on creating an electronic health record. That was not my purpose of going into it. But yeah, sometimes things fall in your lap and you create things, and it's for the good.
No, totally. Because look at, it's coming full circle back to being able to support these survivors, right? You're allowing the nurse's role and the other people's role to be easier. And then if it's easier, then they can be more present with the person, right?
And exactly. That's the purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I believe that every little thing is part of, I call it like a tapestry.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's like this, we all have these big, huge quilts or whatever you want to call them. And it's like each part is, has a very specific, it's like a stepping stone, or it's getting you to the next level, really.
Yes. Yeah.
Your soul path. That's what I call it.
Yeah. And all of these things that you do, all of these projects that I've done over the years, it just makes me a more well-rounded person. And I like the person that I am. You know, I really like the person that I am now. And I have to say, within the past couple of months, I've truly made a commitment to myself of, you know what, this is the work I love. So let me put that out there, the working at thebossynurse.com. This is the work that I love. Let me put that out there. And there should be no shame or fear behind that. And one other thing about fear. I'm afraid all the time. Right before we started, I was telling you how I had the butterflies, even though we just recorded a podcast and I just recorded one before you. I still get the butterflies when I'm going live or, I'm putting something out in the world for other people to consume. I still have the butterflies, but you know what I do? And this is part of my mindset and how I work through mindset or help people work through mindset is that I say, you pretend you are Oprah. Pretend you are Beyonce, and what would they do in that moment? They wouldn't even think about it. They just have the confidence to do it. And yeah, they may have their own mindset issues, but in the moment of something that you really want to do, pretend you're Oprah and say, okay, I'm just going to do it. And you know what? I'll worry about the fear and the butterflies later. I'll just stress about that after it's done. But yeah, you just have to go ahead and do it and then stress about it later if you're going to stress about it. But once you do it, you'll find that the stress is not that bad at all, you know, because it's a lot of mindset stuff of why you didn't do something.
It's so true. And I think fear is, to me, fear is really shining a light on what we need to lean closer to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because fear is an illusion, first of all. Mm-hmm. It's not real. False evidence appearing real. Mm-hmm. It's a mental construct that we have. And like you said, Marcia, every time we do something that we're afraid of, it's like, are you freaking kidding me? The story that we make up and the way that we get in our energetic bodies is it like the movie that we create? It's like we all have, right. could have a PhD, right? In fear.
Right.
The actual act is so much easier than the story we create about it.
Yeah. And it's so important to, I think, talk about it, like for us to talk about it, you know, for people who are starting their businesses, you know, I feel like I'm starting something new again. And I still have fear. I still have those moments like, oh my God, what did I just put out? Oh my God, I got to take that blog post back, or I got to take that podcast episode back, or whatever it is I'm thinking in the moment. Like, oh my goodness, I hope no one listens to it before I can delete it. So we all have it. So you just have to start and commit to yourself saying, okay, I'm going to worry about the fear later. I'm going to stress about the butterflies later. But let me just do it, and then I'll think about it.
Absolutely. And I think it is so important because
yeah.
so much of our society is this freaking highlight reel of everything is perfect and everyone's making all this money and all whatever it is for, you know, you or whatever.
Yeah.
Lots of us have dark nights of the soul and are like, what are we doing? Is this even making a difference? And so it's more than a pretty picture. It's more than how's your branding and how's your website. It's the full picture. And so I'm so glad that you're sharing that you have fear. It's like, it's part of the human experience. Yeah. It doesn't really go away. It just gets less intense for people who, you know, we continue to take those steps. So thank you for bringing that up. Let's talk a little bit about this whole concept of divine downloads. I know you've had many of them, obviously. To me, the download, call it what you want, upload, download, it's when you're in a receptive state, mind, body, spirit, you receive mm-hmm. this wisdom. And this wisdom, once you embody it, it changes who you be. So is there one that's like bubbling up to the surface that you think it would be relevant to share with the audience today, Miss Marcia?
Let's see. I have to share that I'm always open to, well, the majority of the time I've been open to trying new experiences. So I have to say that just in general, if I get an idea, I just go with it. So let me talk about just briefly about my first business. And I was talking to you just very briefly about it earlier, how I was on this six-country tour. And I remember watching my tour guide, and she was pretty young. I think she was probably younger than I was. And I was already a nurse probably for a year at this point. And I just decided to take this tour of these countries. And she was, you know, presenting. And at the time I was like in this situation at work where I was being, you know, bullied, and it was by our nursing director. She was just a real terror on the floor. For not only me, but just for many people who work there. And I just remember thinking to myself, do I hate nursing? Or is it that I just hate where I am? You know, what can I do in the meantime just to, you know, get out of this situation until I figure it out? And I remember looking at the tour guide saying, you know what, I can do that. So I came home from that tour. And I remember like looking up the company that she worked for that I took the tour with, and, you know, seeing if they had any jobs available. And this is how I think distressed I was in nursing. And I'm glad that I didn't leave nursing. I just realized it was the situation I was in at the time. So I just remember, you know, looking up that tour company and then looking at some, you know, other options as well. Like, and then I said to myself, you know, why don't I just start a tour company myself? And so that's how I started. And I, at the time, I didn't have the confidence, I would say, in terms of moving forward that I do now, although I had to have some because I went through with it. But at the time, I was like, you know what, I don't know what I'm doing. But this is something that's talking to me right now. This is something that makes me think I'm going to have fun right now. So why not just do it? So that's what I did. I started a tour company. And I was saying earlier to you that I got my first client through like guerrilla marketing, if I really know what that is. I'm not sure if I really know what that is, but I just remember passing out flyers to people, to students at a university, just passing out flyers, just, you know, during finals time, everybody was crowding and, you know, studying, you know, in libraries and things like that. And I just remember doing that. And fearful, very like, oh my goodness, these people are going to think I'm an idiot. They don't know me. Why am I doing this? And I said to myself, you know what, worry about that later. So I just started passing out flyers, and that's how I got my first client who booked a full package, like a big package. It was about, at the time, $3,600 total, because, you know, my client brought along someone else. So you just have to do it. And I think that's when I had that moment of, I guess you could say, that divine download, like, this is the moment where I go out and do it. And I remember thinking to myself, no, Marcia, do not go out and hand out flyers, because I had no idea how to get clients then. I had no idea. I was not blogging at the time. I wasn't, you know, a business-minded person at the time. I was just a nurse, you know. Oh, I shouldn't say that, just a nurse. We're all nurses and it's great. I was a nurse at the time with no real business experience. So I just, you know, remember thinking to myself, oh my goodness, should I go out? Should I do this? Oh my God. And just being terrified at handing out my first flyer to somebody saying, this is what I do. Hey, here's, you know, a flyer, take it. But I remember deciding, you know what? You got to do it, because if you don't do it, you're not going to have a business. You're not going to start it. So that's how it started for me. And I think that was my download, just saying, you know, you just have to do it.
Okay. The word fierce is what keeps coming up for me. You know, it's like fierce. So having that download, actually like taking action on it, and like, I like to see things as like a threshold, like you're walking across a bridge, right? From like, when you start, you're like, oh my God, I'm so freaking afraid. And then you walk across so what did walking across that bridge, saying yes to yourself, saying yes to the idea of the travel company, what did that do for you? When you walk to the other side, who have you been able to become because you said yes?
Oh my goodness. Now I think like any ideas I have or anything I want to start, I always say, it's like, I don't even question it. Like, can I do it? Because I know I can. I toured clients around a foreign country that I had only been in. That was my second time. You know, I took clients to Istanbul, Turkey. That was the very first trip I did. So now I look back and I'm, you know, I just think to myself, whenever I want to do something, I think I do it. I move past the fear and I think about the fear later. And once I think about it later, it's like, oh, it's already done. So I really don't have to worry about it. So that's where I work from now. It's like, I know this is a great idea, whatever it is. I know it's a great idea. So I'm just, why not do it? Because there are so many great ideas out there. And I think people don't work on them or try to execute on them because of the fear that they have. And I think I've mastered the point of getting past fear or ignoring the fear in the moment and just moving on it and then thinking about it later.
I think,
there are times later when I think to myself after I've put whatever it is out there, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did that. So yeah, it still happens all the time.
I think what you so, what you're like the quintessential, success leaves clues. You know, and so what you're demonstrating, I think, is that if you have the desire, you have the passion, the universe will bring you the resources if you have the desire and you act on the desire.
Yes.
And that's totally, I mean, you're basically like the walking poster child of a manifestation. I'm just saying.
Oh, nice. I love that.
Yeah. Like that's totally what you're being. It's awesome.
I love that. Thank you so much. I think I'm going to start using that.
Seriously. Okay. So tell us, let's wrap this up. How can
you
work with the Bossy Nurse? Tell us all the things.
Sure. Just head on over to thebossynurse.com. I do personal private coaching one-on-one with nurses who are interested in moving past that fear, learning how to move past that fear, and just working on the mindset to get their businesses just ready, up and running online. That's so I work with sort of that beginning student. So yeah, at thebossynurse.com, if you just land on my homepage on my website, you'll see a challenge that you can join, a 5-day challenge, and it's right there above the fold, as people say in the media or newspaper world. It's above the fold. You'll find a link to just join my 5-day challenge. And once you join my challenge, you'll get, you know, emails from me for that first 5 days on how to work through certain mindset issues, how to get ideas for a business, things like that. And then if you can work, you can work with me further if you'd like, just by emailing me through that challenge. So that's pretty much it. It's pretty easy. Or you can join my free Facebook group as well. I just created a free Facebook group called How to Become a Nurse Entrepreneur. So if you just do a search, How to Become a Nurse Entrepreneur, you'll find my Facebook group there. So I'm just starting that up. I'm just starting to get into social media. I'm not really a social media person, but I'm trying my best to really reach out to people that way. So yeah, that's it.
So good. And I love the Bossy Nurse. That's
oh, thank you.
That's so saucy. I like it.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
Well, this has been a true pleasure to connect with you. You are my spirit animal. So thank you for being shining totem for me. So all the things will be in the show notes for folks. And I want to thank you for saying yes. I want to thank you for taking the leap and, you know, demonstrating really how the law of attraction works. You're doing it wonderfully.
Oh, thanks, Elizabeth. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. So any final wisdom bits or parting comments you want to leave us with today, Marcia, before we round this up?
Move past your fear. Do it anyway, and then think about it later.
Yes. And if you need help, Marcia's your girl. Oh my gosh. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Marcia. Of course, thank you to the listeners. Please, please, please remember that you're supported 24/7, even on those dark nights of the soul where you feel like, really, why am I doing this? Keep taking those baby steps. The way that you run a marathon is one step at a time. So ask for help and you will receive it. Until the next time, keep taking good care of yourselves. Bye-bye.